Come on, would you give that hand to Jesus now? Would you just say, thank you, Jesus, that we're all together here? Come on, you were doing that good for me, but now you're clapping for a king. Will you do that? Will you lift up Jesus? My, that meant more to me than I could ever tell you. I love you, Anderson. I love all y'all. Y'all are precious to me. Is there anybody here who loves Jesus with all your heart? Is there anybody here who believes that the best is yet to come? If that's you, make a little noise in the room. Now, stand for the reading of God's word. Let's give all the great dads in the room a God bless you. Come on. I'm sure, listen, it meant so much. Everything that was said, it touched my heart so greatly. But there's some families in here. You could talk about your daddy. How many of you are glad that we got some wonderful dads that are attached to the Calvary family? Well, I'm going to preach a little bit today, and it's going to be different. We're going to have a good time. I thought I would start off with a dad joke. Come on now, we need a couple of them. So where in the Bible does it talk about a state in America, in the United States? Arkansas. The Bible said that Noah stood in the ark and saw. Come on, somebody. Y'all know that was good. What kind of car did they drive in the New Testament, the disciples? They drove an Accord. The Bible said that they were all in one accord. Come on, somebody. All right. What do you call a cow with no legs? You call that cow ground beef. Come on, here we go. What do you call a dog with no legs? Nothing. He won't come to you. Come on. Where do you find a turtle with no legs? The same place you left him. There you go. All right. Now we're ready to preach. Wasn't that so spiritual? All you people who are so spiritual. Mary Hart does good like a medicine. All right. Ephesians 6:12. I want to talk to dads today. Paul said this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age. Four battlefronts, and against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. And then David, who I'm going to use as our subject today, then David went up with all the house of Israel with singing and shouting and trumpets, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a linen ephod. David was a radical praiser. David was a man that knew how to praise the Lord. I love men that know how to praise God. Come on now. I said, I appreciate the men that aren't ashamed to praise the Lord. David was a Renaissance man. He was a worshiper and a warrior. He was a poet and a warrior. He would write a song. He would write a poem and then kill you. Come on, somebody. He was a different kind of man, but he was a worshiper. And David encountered fights and warfare for his family. And Paul said, we don't wrestle flesh and blood. I want to talk to you today about the fight of a father. I want to bless the fathers that are in the fight. I want to bless the fathers that are faithful. I want to bless the fathers that have remained constant and true. We love you, dads, and we thank God for you. Come on, somebody. So if you want to get in the same oil I'm about to preach in, slip up your hands. God, help us today to preach and teach in a way that will glorify Jesus. Thank you for all these great men and fathers. We bless them in Jesus' name. Somebody give the Lord the ovation and the praise of the day. Come on, let's lift a shout. It's been great so far. All right, you can be seated. I'm going to talk to you today about the fight of a father. And Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That word wrestle in the Greek is the word pele. It means hand-to-hand combat. It means face-to-face, up-close, and personal combat. This isn't, folks, warfare from a distance. This is the enemy that you fight in your home. This is the enemy you fight in your mind. It's the fight you fight for your marriage and for your children. And every father in this room is fighting on the fronts that Paul mentioned here in Ephesians 6. We are fighting principalities and powers and the darkness of this age and wickedness. We are fighting that every day. Godly men are in a fight. And I want to show you a man who was a fighter. He fought all of it. David lost some rounds, but he won more than he lost. How many of you are thankful that you may have lost, but the fact that you're here today proves that you have won more fights than you lost? Come on, somebody. David made some of the worst decisions in all the Old Testament, but in the end, he still had enough victory to give God praise like nobody was watching. Come on now. His name was David. He wasn't perfect, but what made him powerful was he never stopped getting back up. He would fail, he would get knocked down, he would fail himself, but he would get back up. Now, everybody loves a champion. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about wrestling. I got the belt here now, come on. I said I got the belt. Yeah, some of y'all know I grew up watching wrestling on Saturdays. Now I didn't watch all this fancy wrestling that they have nowadays. I grew up, some of y'all will know this, and some of y'all gonna act like you don't, but you know that you do. I watched wrestling on Saturday with Gordon Solie and Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. Yeah. Make a little bit of noise if you know who Dusty Rhodes is. And I used to, man, we would get in the floor. I believed it was real. I carried on. I had me and my friends, we had wrestling matches. We were, y'all don't know any of these names because now you know you got all the Undertaker and all that. We had like Jack and Jerry Briscoe and okay, 12 of you know, but I'm just telling you, it was fun, but now it's a whole nother level. And today we're going to take about three guys that are pretty well known. Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. Did y'all know Ted DiBiase is saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and preaching the gospel now? And David was like all three of them. He trained like Hogan, he endured like a warrior, and he knew the cost of having a price like Ted DiBiase. Now, this is gonna make sense. Now, here, first of all, let's start with Hulk Hogan. Come on, bring that up in the back.
Train, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, be true to yourself, true to your country, be a real American.
Well, there you go. The Hulk said, say your prayers and eat your vitamins, number one. And then he said, be a true American. How many of y'all know we need some true Americans who love Jesus? But some of y'all are saying, I got dressed and I came to church. And Jim Raley is, I fought traffic and I went through all that to get here. And he's talking about Hulk Hogan. Yes, I am, and I'm not apologizing. Because discipline and devotion practiced daily in private produces something powerful in public. David was like Hulk Hogan because David spent years training in a field that nobody cared about. When we first meet David, y'all, he doesn't have a throne. He doesn't have a title. He's in the field. He's alone. He's with sheep. And nobody's watching him. Jesse, you remember the story when the prophet came. Jesse told Samuel, he got all of his sons together, seven of them. And Samuel finally looked at Jesse after rejecting all seven, and the Lord said, this is not the one. He said, do you have another? David was not even considered. David was the one that nobody thought to mention. David was the one that was overlooked. But here's what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:11. There remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is keeping the sheep. Now this morning, precious, as I was spending time with the Lord, praying about this day, there was a word that just jumped out to me. He is keeping the sheep. I'd like to thank God for all the men that keep on keeping on. I'd like to thank the God for the men that keep going to work, that keep showing up, that keep praying, that keep coming to church, that keep believing, that keep standing. I'm going to tell you, sir, that I know what it is to get tired. I know what it is to get weary. I know what it is to do things and feel like nobody cares. But today we want to stop and thank every man that has been a keeping man. Give all the keeping men a God bless you. Now, David is out there keeping the sheep. And nobody thought that was important. But I came to tell every dad in the room, what you do is important. The fact that you are there is important. The fact that you show up is important. The fact that you are faithful is important. And don't let anybody underestimate the power of your presence. And I'm thanking God for you today. See, David was in the field. And what was happening when nobody was watching was valuable. He was saying his prayers. He was killing lions and bears that nobody ever heard about. He was writing worship songs to God. And God was the only one listening. He was building in the dark. And the character that he built would sustain him when God blessed him. And I'm going to tell you, but fathers, there are times when you have to persevere. There are times when you have to build in the dark. There are times when you war and you wage and nobody knows about it. But I have come to tell you today that there is a reward on the other side. Now, I look at all that God has done for me, and he's been good to Jim Raley. I couldn't praise him enough. I'm married to Miss America. Come on, Miss World, Miss Universe. To me anyway, I love her with all my heart. I'm blessed with great children. I'm blessed to lead campuses, and it's all Jesus. He did it all. Every facility, he gets the glory for it. Everything that we've done, he gets the glory for it. But I've come to a place in my life, y'all, where I really understand that the campuses are great. The ministry is great. The spiritual sons and daughters are great. The thousands of people are great. But you know what I'm most thankful for is that my son sits at the light board and serves most every Sunday. Is that my two daughters are on the stage and they're dancing and glorifying the Lord. Everything else is gravy. Come on, somebody. I've come to tell you, mister, what matters most is not what you do on the job. What matters most is not your corporate title. What matters most is not a ministry, a microphone, or a stage. What matters most is that you're at the breakfast table and that you're at the dinner table and you show up for a basketball game. I want somebody right now who's thankful for the faithful dads. Give God a praise in the room. You'll hear it on the podcast that I'm going to be sharing with you, I think this week or the next week or so. But in our house, we have places that we pray. Dawn goes to her place and prays, and Dawn gets up before the chickens. I sleep a little later than the chickens, but I get up early myself, but she gets up before the chickens. She goes into her place and prays. I get up early and go into my place. I have a chair that I sit in, and I just talk to the Lord. My whole life changed when I started talking to Jesus like he was my friend. I used to come to the Lord and I felt like I had to pray my list and I had to be holy. And Lord, I magnify thee. I blessest thou holiest name. Come on, somebody. Did y'all grow up in church where they spoke King James Version? For thus saith, and listen, let me tell you something. It is going to be amazing when we get to heaven and God doesn't speak King James Version. I realized one day that the Lord is my friend. One day I said, Jesus, and he said, what's up? It changed my life when I sat down in my chair and I started viewing my conversation with the Lord and my time with the Lord like he was excited that I was there. And it changed my entire world. And I sit in that chair every morning. Dawn has her place. Well, we've done that for many, many years. Our children watched us do that. And I'll never forget the day when I came downstairs and my youngest daughter, she was very small then. Peyton would have been probably in kindergarten. My youngest daughter was sitting before the sun came up at the table worshiping and weeping and glorifying God. I walked by Courtney's room. She's got worship on and I hear her praying and seeking the Lord. I'm trying to tell you something, that what you do when nobody's looking, honey, that's the price, but there's also a reward on the other side of it. And maybe you feel like you're in the field, mister, and maybe you feel like nobody's noticing and nobody knows what's going on, but I've come to tell you, keep on keeping on. There's a reward. Keep eating your vitamins and keep saying your prayers. Somebody give God praise for the good men. Hallelujah. Now, watch this. David was faithful. And I want you to understand this. David didn't fight his way into being loved. When you look at David's name and you define it, David's name means beloved. He was born loved. That means before David killed the giant, before he ever slew Goliath, before he ever wore a crown, before he ever led a soldier, God had already named him beloved. And I want to tell you today, sir, you are not fighting, you are not praying, you are not in warfare from a place trying to get God to love you. God already loves you, hallelujah, and you are fighting from a place of relationship. The greatest sermon your children will ever hear is the life that you lead Monday through Saturday. We all spend time in the field. None of us are exempt from the field. And I want to tell you, the field for David was not wasted time. The field for David was training for everything that God had for him. And I want to tell you, you need to be careful, sir, with the tone of your voice, with the way you react, with the way you respond, that your daughters are going to learn how to let a man treat them. It's quiet in here now. By how you treat your wife. Your sons are going to learn how to treat their wives by watching how you treat your wife. But I'm thankful that there's some men in the room who are good men. Let's give all the good men a great big God bless you. Hallelujah. So then you got Hulk Hogan, who represents discipline, who represents faithfulness. But then there's a guy called the Ultimate Warrior. Let's see him. So the Ultimate Warrior, here's what he said, and I paraphrase. The Ultimate Warrior said that the strength of the warrior is in endurance. It's the strength of the warrior is not the victory, but it's the endurance. Now the Ultimate Warrior, I've watched him a little bit because he's from many years ago. He wore all this face paint. He wore neon tassels. He shook the ropes, come on, y'all, like he was trying to pull them off the floor. He never walked anywhere he went. He ran. That's why he would do so good at Calvary. He ran everywhere he went. If you've ever watched him, he was something to see. He was something else. Listen, if you would have saw him, you would think, man, this dude is coming from the most intense prayer meeting in all of history. Come on. And David was like the Ultimate Warrior. He knew what it was to endure when times got tough. After Goliath, after the parade, can I tell you something? After David killed Goliath, after David had his song being sung by the young ladies and his name being exalted and lifted up, life didn't get easier. Life got harder. And how many of you know sometimes your victories are great, but sometimes the battle intensifies after you have a victory? But I have made up in my mind that the God who gave me victory here can also give me victory in the next fight. So David was like the ultimate warrior, and I want to thank all the warrior dads, the dads that fight, the dads that are faithful. Now, watch this. David surrounds himself with a lot of men. This is when he's fled from Saul. Saul's trying to kill him, and David winds up in the cave of Adullam. And the Bible said, here's the people that were with him in 1 Samuel 22:2. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to David. Now that's a friend group. Everyone who was in distress, everyone who was broke, busted, and disgusted, everyone who was aggravated, everyone gathered to him, so he became the captain of all them. Sounds like a men's small group, doesn't it? Come on, y'all. Can you imagine? These are your friends. My friend group is everybody in distress, everybody in debt, everybody discontented, and everybody in a mess. Those were David's friends, distressed, in debt, discontented. It was rough. But before it was all said and done, they became David's mighty men. They became the most skilled elite fighting force Israel had ever seen. That's why I'm telling you, you need to find you a group of men in this church. We need this men's ministry to flourish, and I thank God that it is. But I'm going to tell you, when you get around other men, even when our struggle, we can build each other up. And if you study the life of David and you study these men, they became so elite and so gifted in their fighting and so connected that their feats were almost superhuman. I've come to tell some men in this room, honey, when Jesus comes back, there's not going to be weak, struggling men, but there's going to be mighty men who are doing mighty things for the Lord. I want the mighty men to give God a praise right now. David is in the cave. He's been anointed to be king. But God takes him in this process, and he's fleeing Saul. He's running for his life, and he writes this psalm from a cave. And he says in Psalms 57, my heart is steadfast. Oh, my heart is steadfast. I will sing, and I will make melody, and I will awake the dawn. David didn't say my circumstances are steadfast. He didn't say my situation or my feelings or my or anything like that is steadfast. He said my heart is steadfast. In other words, I don't see what I want to see yet. I don't have what I want to have yet. I haven't seen the promise manifest yet. So he said, I will awaken the dawn. He said, I'll get up before I see the light. I'll get up before the sun comes up. And he said, I will make melody. He said, I'll praise him in the dark. I'll praise him when nothing's going right. I'll praise him in a cave. I'll praise him when my body's sick. I'll praise him when my children have lost their way. I'll praise him when things aren't going right. I'm looking right now, not just for men, but for women in a church that will say, Apostle, I know God made a promise to me, and I'm going to praise him even in the dark. It's easy to praise God when it's manifested. It's easy to praise God when you got it. But when you're in a cave, when you haven't seen it yet, but your heart is steadfast. I'm looking for just some people who can say, I'm not going to give up. If God promised me my children, I'm going to see my children saved. If God promised me breakthrough and direction, I'm going to have it. Somebody right now, even if it's dark in a season in your life, open up your mouth and give God praise like it's already done. What I've learned about the quality of warfare is this. The quality of warfare is often indicative of the quality of breakthrough that I'm going to walk into once the warfare is over. I can't get no help in here. That sometimes when the warfare is at the highest, it's because the devil knows on the other side of the warfare, you're coming out of the cave. You're going to possess the land. You're going to possess the crown. You're going to see what God promised you. I am so tired of preachers who stand up and tell us we just got to learn to deal with it. We got to learn. It's never going to happen. Listen, if God said it, don't you buy into what any doubtful preacher has to say. Listen, we may endure, but the Bible said weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Do you remember the story of David and Ziklag? When the enemy came in, the Amalekites, and they stole everything. David and his mighty men were away, and they came to Ziklag. And the Amalekites took David's family, took David's resources, took everything that he had. Come on now, and fled with it. And David came back and everything was gone. And the Bible said that they wept. They lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Can I talk to real people? Have you ever had times in your life where the hell was so intense and the heartbreak was so complete and the problem was so complex that you said, I don't even have tears anymore? Have you ever come to a moment with somebody where they cut you so deeply? Let me talk to real people. Where they wounded you so thoroughly that you looked at them and said, I love you, but I don't have another tear in my eyes for you. I can't shed another tear. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to a place where you didn't even know what to do? David was right there. And then the Bible said that he was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him. Now don't miss this. Who are the people? They are the distressed ones. They are the broken ones. They are the ones in debt. They are the very ones that he had lifted up. Y'all don't want to help me. The very ones that he had done the most for. Can I tell you something, baby? There are seasons in your life where the very people that you do the most for will be the people that will grab a knife and stab you in the back. I feel like preaching. The Bible said that David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Can I tell you something? When there's destiny and purpose in your life, if you can't survive it when the people speak, you'll never make it, because the people gonna speak. If I let what the people said have control and dominance over my life, I wouldn't be your pastor today, because the people are gonna speak. They're gonna speak on Facebook. Y'all have heard me say it before. Facebook never made the lame walk, but it surely made the dumb talk. Can I get a witness up in here? If you think that somebody's words have power over what God said about you, you'll never possess it. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what the people say. If God is on your side, no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. I'm totally off my notes, but I feel like preaching. It's Father's Day, so I'm going to just go ahead and preach. He looks at his assistants. Was it Ahimelech, Ahithophel? Listen, Dawn, thank you for your help. The guy's name that was there, he looked at him and he said, pass me my ephod. I can't remember his name. And neither can you, because none of y'all are telling me. Ahimelech. Yeah, I think Ahimelech, something. Ahimelech. It wasn't a her, it was a him. Come on. But his name means my father is great. So David looked at a man whose name means my father is great. And he said, pass me my ephod. Oh, Jesus. See, Dave, the Bible said that the people spake of stoning him, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. David was his own CBO. You know what a CBO is? It's a chief breakthrough officer. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm my own chief breakthrough officer. Yeah, I don't have to have everybody encourage me. I'll look in the mirror and encourage myself. Y'all don't even know that long before I got this stage and this mic and this platform and this opportunity, I used to preach by myself. I would put my suit on. Y'all don't know I'm telling the truth. We were preaching this place. I put my suit on, got in the mirror, and preached. I amen myself. I said, and God said, and I got over here and I said, you preaching now. God is on your side. Yes, he is. I'm preaching amen and myself. Come on, y'all. I preach. I gave the altar call. The soap got saved. The toothpaste got called in the ministry. Come on, y'all. Before I ever had a stage or a platform, I had a destiny and a purpose in my heart. And I've been through some battles, but baby, God has been faithful. So he looked at the man whose name means my father is king, and he said, pass me my ephod. Whenever in the Bible the priest put on the ephod, it said two things. I'm about to worship, and I'm about to pray. David said, I don't know what to do, but I know how to worship, and I know how to pray. I don't know how to get my family back, but I know how to worship and I know how to pray. He looked at a man and he said, my God is great. That's what his name meant. He said, pass me my ephod. I'm about to worship and I'm about to pray. Is there anybody in the room that you found yourself in seasons where you didn't know what to do, but you knew how to worship and you knew how to pray and God came? I dare you right now, if you still know how to worship and you still know how to pray, come on, warriors, lift up your voice with a shout. And watch this. So they come back and they get it all. They get everything back. Because the Lord said, pursue, overtake, and without fail, recover all. They go and give a flying drop kick. Come on, somebody. To the Amalekites, get back everything they lost. And then David gets back. And the Bible said he got back more than what he lost and called it the spoil. I don't know about you, but I'm not just getting back what I lost. Let me look at this side. I said, hey, who's not going to get back just what you lost? David got back more than what he lost. I hadn't gone through what I've gone through just to get back to square one. I'm getting back everything the devil stole and then some. And the Bible says, yeah, Jesus. I feel like preaching today. And the Bible says that he gathered up some of the spoil and he sent it to Judah. What does Judah mean? Okay, he sent it to some of his friends in Judah. Now, it had been 15 years since he had been anointed. He had oil broke over his head. He's been running like a scared rabbit, hiding in caves. And now he's in Ziklag, which is not even in Israel. He's in Philistine territory. That's where he's at. And he's there. And he's just had everything stolen, but he got it back. And then he said, send some of the food and the spoil, send it to Judah. He didn't know that on the timeline, he was less than 100 days from being crowned king of Judah. He didn't even know that at the point of his greatest fight, he was 100 days away from having fresh oil broke over his head. He didn't understand. Tell somebody, I'm close. Yeah, yeah. And what did he do? He fed Judah. What does Judah mean? Judah means praise. Sometimes you got to praise God right where you are. Somebody needs to feed Judah. I dare you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Say, you can sit there if you want to, but I got to feed Judah. Fresh oil is going to break over my head. My purpose is coming to pass. My victory. Somebody give God a shout right now. Hallelujah. I said, give God a praise right now. David didn't even know it, but at the time of his greatest battle, when he was crying and weeping and it looked like it was all over, it's because the enemy knew that he was closer to his breakthrough than he's ever been. And I stopped by on Father's Day to tell somebody, if the last couple years has seemed like warfare, get ready, get ready, get ready. You're about to step into your promise. Somebody say, pass my ephod. I know how to worship and I know how to pray. That's when you're the ultimate warrior. That's when you war and it's not easy. That's when you war for your purpose, for your destiny, for your tomorrow, for your children, for your family. And sometimes the greatest reality that leads to victory is consistency. You know what all this is a result of? A big part of it? I kept showing up. I showed up and preached some Sundays when I was bleeding into my boots and you didn't even know about it. I danced in front of this church when I was dancing in a dilemma. Come on, somebody. How many of you know that you don't do great things for God and it not be contested? But the Bible said we've been made more than a conqueror. See, what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? I heard a story about Muhammad Ali. He fought for the first $1 million purse. Y'all remember Ali? All y'all ain't 11. The thriller in Manila. I'm gonna float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. He said, Joe Frazier, he's ugly, but I'm pretty. Come on, somebody, I'm pretty. And we used to watch him, and what was that? Howard Cosell. Come on, that's when boxing was free. Y'all have no reference for that, but it was so great. But he fought for the first $1 million purse. They said, Ali, what are you going to do? I'm trying to show you what it means to be more than a conqueror. Ali, what are you going to do with that $1 million check when you get it? He said, I'm going to take that check, and I'm going to give that check to my pretty wife. I'm going to give that check to my pretty wife. And sure enough, he walked in the room, in the ring, just like he always did. He won that fight. He found a way to win. He got that check, and he gave it to his wife. Now, let me tell you what happened. When he beat Joe Frazier, he was a conqueror. But when he gave that check to his wife, she was more than a conqueror. I'm looking for people who are more than conquerors. I didn't have to fight for it, but the blood of Jesus has given me power, victory, and clarity. Hallelujah. All the people that are warriors and more than conquerors, make a little noise in the room. But then there's the third one, and the third guy is Ted DiBiase. Now bring Ted up.
Everybody's got a price.
Now that's what Ted DiBiase would say. He would say everybody's got a price. And what he would do, we all know that it was fake. I know that's going to disappoint some of you. We'll set up counseling for you. We'll do an RTF. Come on, somebody. Wrestling always has been fake, but Jesus is real. Thank God. But he would walk around with these $100 bills, and he would get people to do crazy things, and he would say, everybody has a price. And that's the third thing that I want to talk to you about, is the fact that everybody has a price. Now, Ted DiBiase was one of the scoundrels in wrestling. He was one of the bad guys. But what he said made a lot of sense. Even David had a price. I'm not saying that David was a wicked man, but he was a weak man in moments. You say, well, Apostle, what was his price? Well, you remember the story, don't you? It's in the spring. I've been to the city of David. They've unearthed it. It's something to see right outside the gates. Actually, within the gates or so of Jerusalem is the excavation of the city of David. And it's something. It's mind-boggling. And David, Jerusalem is kind of built up on a mountain. And the Kidron Valley, going up to the Mount of Olives, it's really beautiful. But David would have been in an elevated position. And there was warfare going on. And David is in the bedroom when he should have been on the battlefield. And he looks out, and David is not a spring chicken at this point. We think, man, he must have been in his 20s, in his 30s, at the most in his early 40s. No, David was probably my age, at least 42. Come on, somebody. And he looks out across the veranda, and he sees Bathsheba taking a bath without her Sheba on. Come on, somebody. That's a good one. There's a dad joke for you. And he sent for her. And before it was all said and done, he wound up getting her pregnant. He paid the price. Not only did he wind up getting her pregnant, he brings Uriah, the husband, in. You remember the story? And this man was such a man of integrity that while his brothers were fighting in the field, he wouldn't go and lay with his wife and wouldn't stay at home. He slept at the gate. You study it. So David arranged for this man to be killed. He said, go to a place where the battle is heated and then fall back and leave him there by himself. And this man was killed. So David was unfaithful. He seduced this woman, and he killed a man. David, a man after God's own heart. And then the prophet comes to him, and the prophet says to him, there was a man who had one lamb. And there was a man who had a very wealthy man. He had everything you can imagine. But he took that one man's lamb and he slew it and he killed it and he ate it. David said, where is that man and who is he? He said, he won't see tomorrow. And the prophet looked at him and said, thou art the man. And David said, oh, wretched man that I am. And then he said six words. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. He said, not the kingdom, not the throne, but the Lord. He said, after all God has done for me, I have sinned against the Lord. Come on, let's play. And what was beautiful and precious, as bad as it was, that's when David wrote in the book of Psalms, 51. Yeah, he said, thank y'all for helping me preach today. I appreciate that. David sat down with tears streaming down his face. He's evaluating what he's done. And right there he writes, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. I know what it is to come to a place where I don't like my own heart. Can I talk to real people? Who's ever wrestled in your heart with feelings? Wrestled with the way people have done you, done your family? And you just, it's your heart that you fight with. And David said, create in me a clean heart. I imagine that tears are dripping on the paper. He said, oh Lord, watch this, and renew a right spirit in me. And then he said, cast me not away from your presence. Watch, men. And then he said, take not your Holy Spirit away from me. David was the most wealthy man that you could ever hope to find in that day. David sat on the throne, and now he's king over all of Israel united. But in that moment, he surveys the circumference of his circumstance and situation, and he realized that he has lost out with God, and he has gotten away from the very one who anointed him in a shepherd's field and gave him victory at Ziklag and gave him the power to kill a Goliath. He looked back across his life, and he said, oh, I've blown it. But he had the good sense to say, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit away from me. I believe in that moment, as wealthy as he was, church, as well connected as he was, as powerful as he was, all of a sudden he has this realization. He said, Lord, you can take my houses, take my kingdom, take my cattle, take my crown, take my throne, take my position. But if you leave me with anything, leave me with your Holy Spirit. If you leave me with anything, leave me with your anointing. Because if I lose everything but I still have you, I've got the capacity and power to get it back. I don't know about you, but I've had seasons in my life where I failed the Lord. I had seasons in my life where I wasn't all that I should be. I haven't lived the perfect life, but I serve a merciful God. And I can stand here today and tell you that he has been faithful to Jim Raley. I can stand here today and tell you that I almost blew my entire purpose up before I got married, that everything in my life was such a tragedy. It was such a mess, but there was a time when I realized I knew I was called. I knew God's hand was on me. I knew I had favor, but I rejected the Lord over and over again. But there came one night, and I'm telling you, my life was at rock bottom, and it looked like it was over. But that night, God reached way down and picked me way up. Is there anybody here today that could say, Jim Raley, I know what it is to have him reach way down and pick me all the way up? Come on, you hadn't always been where you are now. There have been times and moments and issues and circumstances and seasons since I've been saved. I've not had affairs or anything like that, thank the Lord. But where the fight was in my heart, where I'm cut, I'm wounded, and I'm hurt, and I say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. What I'm trying to tell you, especially the dads, is this. The enemy knows that everybody has a price. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. I want somebody who knows you've been bought with a price. Open up your mouth and give God a little bit of glory. Come on, I want somebody right now who knows you've been bought with a price. Open up your mouth and give God a praise. I want you to stand to your feet and I want you to hear me. Nobody leave for a moment because I'm going to dismiss you and bless you. But I want to say this. I want to tell you today that you've been bought with a price. And that price is the blood. That price is the cross. That price is the resurrected Savior. And I want you to know that it doesn't matter what you've done. If you've got it under the blood, then God is on your side and you are redeemed and ransomed. Hallelujah. And here's what I want you to understand. We have these times, precious, where the enemy wants to make us feel like we are not who, what, or where we need to be. And the enemy wants to tell you, I own your purpose. I own your destiny. And I own your future. But yet, young man, listen to me. Listen to me, Dad. You've been bought with the price. And the devil cannot buy what Jesus already owns. Somebody ought to give the Lord a praise. If you've been bought with a price, open up your mouth and thank the Lord today. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want anybody, like I said, to move for a moment because I want to bless the dads and then bless the whole house. But I want to talk to you about understanding fatherhood. Girls, we love you and we're thankful for you. We got some of the greatest, most on fire women in the whole nation here, right at Calvary. Let me hear from the on fire girls. Come on. But most of the time, you girls, man, y'all just talk it out. Let's just talk. I want to talk about it. I feel like I want to share. Let's just share. Men don't share. When was the last time you looked at a man and said, hey, brother, come on, I want to share with you. Men feel it differently. And I would ask the women to understand that. I would ask people in the room, even the children, to understand that though next to serving Jesus, loving my wife, fatherhood is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I mean it. I love my kids so much. I would do anything for them. I would give anything for them. I would move anything for them. There's nothing I have that I wouldn't give to my children. And fatherhood, as much as it's wonderful, it's also a weight. Because, you know, as men, we want to fix everything. And women want to talk about everything. I mean, Dawn tries to talk to me, and I'm sitting there wanting to fix it, and then she gets mad because I'm trying to fix it, and she said, I didn't need you to fix it. I just needed you to listen to me. And my mind is saying, well, if you're talking to me, you must need me to fix. Where are the men at? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And she doesn't just tell me part of the problem. Like a man, if a man's going to tell you a problem, he said, yeah, I went there, he acted that way, and it was like this. No, a woman's going to tell you, I went to Publix that day. I knew I had that meeting at 2 o'clock. I went to Publix, and you know, I was looking for the bread. I decided while I'm there getting the bread, I may as well go get some deli meat because we could make some sandwiches. And I know you love the cucumbers, and you could chop that up because you're trying not to eat potato chips, and you get the cucumbers. And then, you know, I came back. You know who I saw in the, and I think she's trying to tell me one thing, and before it's all said and done, I have heard, where are y'all at? Men are just different. Women, y'all have so many words. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Y'all have so many words. Men run out of words. And sometimes the weight that we feel, we carry it kind of silently. And fatherhood is a weight. And it's wonderful, but it's the kind of weight that you don't just put down. It'll follow you when you lay down at night. It's the weight of provision, making sure your family has what they need. It's the weight of protection. Come on, men. Like, you feel like, I need to protect my children. I need to protect my family. It's the weight of being strong when you feel like you don't have nothing left. It's the weight of sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, sitting in there wrestling. I want to see my kids. I want to see the situation. I want to see all that. And David was a warrior, but he was a warrior who wept. And he made some of the worst decisions imaginable. But in the end, God called him beloved and said, you're still a man after my heart. And so often we look at the word after there, and we think that it's patterned after, and it is to a certain extent, but the word after there means in pursuit of God. And I'm going to tell you, sir, the greatest thing you can do is be after God's heart. So here's what I want to do. I want to bless some men. Because I want to wake you up. Now, I grew up, it's Luis in here. He was wanting to help me wrestle. Well, come on up here, Isaac. Now, when I grew up, my favorite hold, you're ready for this? If I hurt y'all, I have the gift of healing, Will. When we would wrestle, me and my friends in the backyard, we would all pick what wrestler we wanted to be. The favorite hold was this one. It was the sleeper hold. Y'all don't know the sleeper hold. Hey, come here. Come here, Anderson. Anderson's the referee. So they'd get you in the sleeper hold, and you were like this. Once you went to sleep, he'd throw his hand up, and he still got strength. He'd throw it up, but when it finally came to the point that he had no strength, drop it all the way, boom. You knew he was asleep. Did you know that Anderson, he came in this morning and put the belt on. He broke the belt. He says he didn't, but I was going to wear the belt. He broke my belt, y'all. Yes, you broke it. No, it was not. At any rate, men, the enemy wants you in a sleeper hold. But I'm going to tell you, we got some men ready to wake up. First of all, before I do this, I want to give all the men, all of the men, all the warriors, come on, all the men who stayed, all the men who have been bought with a price, let's give all the fathers a God bless you right now. All right, I want all the men, I want every father in the room, I want you to come up. We're doing it different today, but I want every father in the room to come up here right now. Every father in the room. Come on, look at this. Come on, give these fathers a God bless you. Come on. Oh, here they can't. They're coming by the hundreds. Give them a God bless you. Amen. Y'all, come on, let's keep blessing these men. Wow. Unbelievable. Y'all keep clapping. That ought to thrill your heart. So, I want to tell you, men, that we celebrate you, we understand you, we're thankful for you. Thank you for being Christian men. thank you for loving Jesus, man. Thank you for coming to church. Come on, somebody. Thank you for being faithful. So I want to remind you of your purpose, and I want you to declare this after me, and then I'm going to pray over you. But I want to remind you of who you are, and I'm going to let you make the declaration. So this is a Father's Day declaration. So everybody stretch your hand toward the men. All you men, slip up your hands and say this after me. Say, I am a son of God. Come on, men, say it with some boldness. Say, I am a son of God. Say, I know who I am. I'm thankful for who I am. Say, I will be faithful in the field. I will be steadfast in the cave. And I will be faithful when temptation comes. I will pray. I will worship. I will lead my family by example. Come on, get bold, men. Say, I will not quit. Shout it out. Say, I will not quit. Shout it out. Say, I will not quit. I will not compromise. I will not fight alone. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. My marriage is worth fighting for. My children are worth fighting for. I feel this. My calling is worth fighting for. I declare that the devil cannot buy what Jesus already owns. So when I fall, I'll get back up. When I'm weary, I'll keep standing. And when the battle rages, I will keep believing. I will not stop fighting. Never, never, never. Say never, never, never. Never, never, never. Say I will not stop trusting. I will not stop praising. And after every battle, I still have praise left in Jesus' name. Give God a shout. Come on, lift up a roar. Let me tell you this. One of the most beautiful things that I ever heard was at the men's conference. You remember how this place was packed with men, and it was incredible, and we're about to have another one in September. But the most amazing thing I ever heard was when you men and men from our campuses lifted up a roar of praise, and all you could hear was the voices of warriors and men being lifted up. I want every man in the room that's not ashamed to give God a praise. I want you to get out front and lead your family, and I want you to open your mouth and give God a roar right now. Roar and praise. Come on, mighty men. Roar your praise. Roar your praise. Now let's let the women join with the men. And let's lift up a praise. One, two, three. So I want to close with this, and I'm going to pray over you. The enemy thinks that he's going to get our families, but tell every brother in your neighborhood he's mistaken. Come on. He thinks he'll have you. Who's got some sons that he can't have? Some daughters that he can't have? Some children that he can't have? Who's got a marriage he can't have in the name of Jesus? So I want to tell you, men, that today I stand here and I honor you, and I'm thankful for you. I want to tell you that I believe in you, but I also want to tell you that we have thousands of men that come to our church families. I want you to connect to other men. Listen, none of us are perfect, but we're stronger together. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to bless the men, and then I'm going to bless the whole church. Now, here I am. Raised a family. God's been faithful. So I'm not going to bless you from a place of defeat. I'm going to bless you from a place of victory. So raise up your hand. Men, I break every attack of the enemy on your mind. Every time the devil tells you you are not enough and you can't make it, I break that off of you right now. I decree and declare that you are not bound by your past. Anything that you've done that's underneath the blood, none of it can prosper against you. I decree and declare that you are mighty men. I declare that the Lord speaks to you. I declare that you're going to love your wife the way Christ loved the church. And I declare that even if you've had struggles and hiccups and trips, that you today are here and this is a brand new beginning. I declare over you, sir, that you are a man of valor. You are a man of power. You are a man of purpose. I renounce and rebuke every attack of the enemy over your life. I declare over you and your children. I declare over your children and your children's children that you are leaving a legacy that will last. Now I bless you, and I declare that any mindset of defeat lifts from you. Any mindset that the enemy has brought against you that fills you with anxiousness, it lifts. And today I remind you that you are, because of Jesus Christ, the ultimate warrior. Hallelujah. I declare that you are a mighty man, a spirit-filled man, a blood-washed man, a man with power. You are a man, so hold up your hand. You are a man who hears the voice of the Lord. You are a man who is led by the Holy Ghost. You are a man with purpose. You are a man with destiny. And I bless you in the name of Jesus. Now, everybody else, raise your hands. I'm going to bless the whole house. I declare that the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his countenance upon you. And I declare this week, though the enemy wants to rage and wage against you, this week will be a week of peace and power and breakthrough. Now, Lord, as men and women, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, we magnify one name. Somebody give Jesus the praise of the whole day. Come on, mighty men of God, give him a praise. All right. They're going to sing us out, but listen, we got stuff in the back for you all to do. We love you, men. Go eat whatever you want and eat a lot of it. Women, take care of your men if you got one. Come on. We love you. God bless you. Happy Father's Day, everybody.